Dave and Darren and the top five things, a review of what we got done on our morning show, which you can hear every weekday morning.
Isn't that marvelous?
Now that we're back from vacation, that is, every weekday morning, 5:30 until 10.
Did the cat ever show up?
At my house?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Well, Darren's mentioning the cat because Darren did some cat sitting while I was away with my family.
Yeah.
And you claim you never saw the cat.
Never saw her once.
We're trying to figure that out at my place, why that is. Because you used to be her favorite and best friend.
No, I know. She's comfortable to see me if there's someone else there.
Right.
But on my own?
You really don't belong here.
You shouldn't be here. I know this. I know things.
When we got back, she was waiting for us at the door. She was like in the kitchen waiting for us
that
as we opened the door.
Wild.
Maybe because we came in through the garage.
I know things about this house. I know things about you. And it's not a good mixture.
Here now are the top five things that we got done on the show. And I don't even know. It's been so long. I don't even know where we start here.
How about number one?
Number one.
Number one.
Getting caught up on some texts from the time that we were gone. The number, if you ever want to text us, 563-223-8355. Story here of a new way to lose weight. That's taking Europe by storm, and maybe it shouldn't be. It's a weight loss procedure that they give you a shot, and the idea is it paralyzes your stomach. Does that seem like a good idea?
I might need it at some point.
In order to reduce your appetite, they give you an injection that paralyzes your stomach muscles. Authorities are saying as a result of this, there's been an outbreak of botulism. 67 cases, 53 of them in Turkey.
Well, maybe they're injecting you with botulism.
That's it. The botulism is what they're... I mean, that's what essentially Botox is, right? Botox is just they're injecting botulism into your face. By the way, I say this with love. Doesn't look like you've had it done recently.
Me? Who?
Can you imagine?
Yeah, that's what we need to do. The two of us need to go get Botox.
If we can get it from Rob Lowe.
Yeah, we
can
do that.
As his character in the Liberace movie.
If it makes me look like this, I'll do it. We can do that.
Botulism is a life-threatening... neuroparalytic condition caused by a toxin, which is made by a bacteria. Several forms of botulism, but in this outbreak, the cases are a form that occurs when too much toxin is injected during medical procedures. Yeah, I'm Botoxing my stomach so that the muscles in my stomach won't move and I won't get hungry. As opposed to, you know, doing a couple of jumping jacks.
My stomach is actually making me hungry?
Yeah, I don't know. Is that how that works?
It seems very...
It's being used for cosmetic purposes. Weight loss purposes. Although they say studies on this application have been mixed in terms of how effective they are.
I bet.
Here's the thing. My stomach muscles were paralyzed, and somehow it made me hungrier. And then the food didn't go anywhere. I've got a roast beef sandwich literally right here. It won't go anywhere. The idea is that it will keep you feeling full longer, leading to reduced appetite as long as the toxin's effects last on your stomach, which can be, it says here, around 3 months. The injection is carried out using an endoscope, a tube-like device, that is equipped with a syringe to inject the toxin directly into the stomach muscle after snaking down the mouth and the throat. So they're not just giving your tummy a shot. They're going into the inside, again, their words here, snaking through your mouth.
There's a big snake hanging right on top of the gate.
And then they inject it right into your tummy there.
At some point, isn't your body going to need some nutrition?
Well, Yeah, but I can get that from other things.
Such as?
I don't know. The sun?
Sunshine?
It says here, things go badly when too much botulism is injected, as appears to be the case in Turkey. Yeah, things go wrong.
Things go wrong! Things go wrong!
There are cases in Austria, Switzerland. This is happening all over Europe. I can't wait for this craze to come here to the States. Something tells me, even though this isn't working.
Yeah, we could do that.
This is something that I have a feeling we're not hearing the last of this.
Get us a nice big billboard and we'll show you our botulism faces. Our Botox faces.
Number two.
Monday mornings afford us an opportunity, usually.
To do what?
To share with you some tales that people are willing to share with complete strangers. So desperate for advice that they write to advice columnists looking for an answer to their problems.
Now, what is the turnaround on that?
It's not instant.
I wouldn't think so.
And I also have to imagine that out of all the letters that an advice columnist gets, they probably only answer less than 1% of them.
Yeah.
You're really taking a risk. But it pays off for these people. Let's get some good advice.
And that was good advice. Good advice. Good advice costs nothing and it's worth the price. I sincerely doubt that the world could do without my good advice.
Here's one writing into the Washington Post looking for some advice. How can I get my ex-husband to understand why I refuse to see his new fiance at our kids' events, even though I'm the one that initiated the divorce? A few years ago, I initiated a separation and divorce. Just a couple of months after I moved out, my husband started dating someone. It really upset me. And I spent the next year trying to recover from what I saw as his betrayal of what I thought was a hopefully friendly divorce. Now our divorce is final, and I do not want his now fiance attending our children's events. I want him to attend with me and show our kids that we can still be friends, because the divorce has been very difficult for them.
This divorce sounds very important to you.
It makes me uncomfortable to have this woman there. The kids ask their father not to bring her because it upsets me, but he won't comply. I refuse to attend if she is there, and I am tired of missing out on my own kids. This is three teenagers. Activities. Shouldn't she find something else to do? Just because they live together doesn't mean she needs to be involved with family things. How can I get him to see this?
I don't think you're going to get the answer you want.
The divorce was your idea.
Uh-huh.
And you're upset that he got a girlfriend and now is getting married again. The advice columnist here urges the letter writer to stop asking their kids to take sides in the divorce. If you want to show your kids something valuable, show them a mother who makes a mature decision to take responsibility for her own life and choices.
Yeah. And grow a pair.
Yeah. If you want an amicable divorce, they say, maybe you could be amicable.
That's right.
Wow.
Maybe some of this lies on you.
You're absolutely right, though. This is not the answer that this woman clearly was looking for. She wanted an answer that said, how dare that hussy show up at your kids' events? How can I get my stepdaughter to let me attend her high school graduation instead of her sister or her grandmother?
Is this a situation where you only get two tickets?
Must be, right? If you're telling me I don't have to go to a graduation, that's a win.
Yeah.
You take the W and you walk away. The letter begins, I need some help navigating a situation in my blended family. My husband has two daughters, 14 and 17, from a previous marriage. The original marriage ended when the girls were toddlers. His ex-wife remarried 5 years later. My husband and I married when the girls were 10 and 13 after a whirlwind romance.
And a dirty weekend.
We had to move out of state for my job shortly thereafter. The girls' primary residence has been with their mother, stepfather, and grandmother. Initially, they would both come and stay with us in the summer, but those extended visits have dwindled as they've expressed interest in spending their summers engaged in sporting activities and at camp, which we have been supportive of. And I've always had what I would consider to be a friendly relationship with both girls. The issue is with the eldest child's high school graduation.
Yes.
Which will be in June. Each student only gets 5 tickets. My stepdaughter wants her tickets to go to her mother, her stepfather, her grandmother, her sister, and her dad.
You're on the bubble. You're on the outside looking in.
I would be left in a hotel room to celebrate them with them at dinner after the ceremony.
Yes.
To her credit, my stepdaughter called me herself to explain the situation, but the conversation went sideways. I was taken aback when she said she wanted the people closest to her at the ceremony.
Yeah, you didn't make the cut.
I don't think it's fair that I'm being treated as less than her stepfather or grandmother. I pointed out that her father continued to provide support above and beyond what he was required to, even after we married, private school, camps, etc., and that our household should be treated
with... Yes, and he's going. he got a ticket.
Did you not hear? Dad made the list.
You know, he's on. He's in.
Our household should be treated with equal respect. She became distraught and ended the phone call. I have proposed a number of solutions to my husband.
I bet you have.
Both her stepfather and I can refrain from going. Her grandmother could take a step back and allow the parents and stepparents to attend together. My younger stepdaughter could skip the ceremony and join us afterwards. My husband is reluctant to push the issue and has asked me not to make him choose.
Yeah.
My stepdaughter is hoping to procure a ticket that one of her classmates will not have use for. But I'm not sure how to proceed if she can't get that extra ticket. I want to preserve the relationships going forward, but I also want to make sure my husband and I are maintaining appropriate boundaries regarding not excluding anyone. Wow.
Yeah, your team didn't get in. Your team didn't get in the tournament. I guess you're off to the NIT. You just got to deal with it.
You just hang out at the hotel while we do the ceremony.
And enjoy it. Get a good, take a nap.
The advice columnist here is Nicole Chung at Slate, who says, you really need to just accept your stepdaughter's decision. And it also wouldn't kill you to apologize for how you've handled this situation.
On top of it.
Quote, I'm really stuck on the fact that you felt okay throwing school tuition and summer camp expenses in your daughter's face during your phone call with her, thereby implying that she's insufficiently grateful to you for what? Letting her father fulfill his responsibilities as a parent after you were married? One last one. Am I right to feel annoyed that I offered to pay for someone's meal and they, unaware of my generosity, ordered some extra food to go?
I love that.
I grew up...
Oh, is that right? You want to pick this up?
Huh. Great.
You know, I'll probably get hungry later.
I grew up in an all-military community. My husband and I are not rich, but we made a vow to always pay the restaurant bill for men or women in military uniforms who are dining at the same time with us. The last time, there were 6 military members in line to pay as we waited for our table.
Are you kidding me?
We walked up and told the cashier, who was also the owner, that we would be paying their bills. I was a bit shocked at how high the bill was for only 6 of them. But I paid it anyway. And after the owner rung up our credit card, he proceeded to hand over several to-go bags to one service member who had ordered a bunch of food for his family. We didn't say anything, but I was upset that the owner, or the person who ordered it, didn't inform us about the to-go order. We still continue with our vow of paying for meals for men and women who are serving this country, but I can't help but feel a little ticked off whenever the occasion arises now. My husband tells me I should just let this go.
Or change your policy.
Yeah, this was written to Miss Manners, who says, you can't impose terms and exceptions or expect unknown violations to be confessed retroactively. Your husband's right. Let this go.
Yeah, if you want to change your policy, change your policy.
If you're mad doing this thing, then stop doing the thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a weirdo about it. What should I do when I suspect my friend is trying to get us stuck in the wilderness?
Wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. Are you still in the wilderness?
Here's what I'm going to say.
Where are you corresponding from?
Hold on to your cat, because this one. What should I do when I suspect my friend is trying to get us stuck in the wilderness?
Yeah.
I think my friend is trying to get stuck in the wilderness.
I love this.
This year we've started taking weekend backpacking trips together and have a nice time.
Yeah.
Last time we were hiking to the trailhead on Sunday and there were dark clouds gathering in the sky.
Yeah.
But according to the weather report, it wasn't supposed to storm until afternoon. Mm-hmm. I thought we could make it easily, but it seemed like he kept stalling along the way. And finally, he said that we wouldn't make it out in time, and we should set up camp and wait out the weather.
Yeah.
He seemed weirdly cheerful about it.
We're going to be okay.
I said that was unnecessary.
Yeah.
And sure enough, we got to the car with plenty of time.
Sure. That wouldn't have been necessary.
This just made me realize he often suggests that kind of thing. Like that we can't keep going on the way back or that we'll have to wait out the weather.
Yeah.
One time he said the trail was impassable, but we eventually got through. I'll admit I felt a little thrilled at the thought of staying out too, but I quickly thought better of it. My friend loves survival shows.
Oh, no.
And often says that he would do well on the show alone.
Maybe not.
Am I off base for thinking that maybe he's trying to make that happen in real life? To be clear, I don't feel scared, but I do feel like on some level, he is wanting us to get stuck out there.
Uh-huh.
Is this dangerous? And what's the best way to handle it? Oh, I want these two. I want to go on a hike with these two so bad.
I don't.
Oh, my gosh.
See, I don't. Now, what kind of advice is given? Like, you need to stop going to the wilderness with this person?
Pretty much.
You're going to turn into a lampshade?
Pretty much. The letter writer gets here is, consider more ambitious trips with your friend, but keep an eye on his behavior. If you ever for a second get the vibe that your friend is sabotaging your trips, intentionally losing the trail or misplacing the map, forgetting or damaging vital supplies, things like that, then you should hightail it away from this guy and never go backpacking with him again.
Yeah.
Just the fact that you've got this weird vibe to begin with, I don't know, it just seems like he wants to get lost.
That's dynamite.
Right? That was some good advice.
And that was good advice. Good advice. Good advice costs nothing and it's worth the price. I sincerely doubt that the world could do without my good advice.
Number three.
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 Dave and Darren with another trend alert. Please be aware. Some hot trends for you, Darren.
Well, we're slaves to fashion.
We must keep you up to date on the latest what's going on. There's one trend where guys are going to the gym and eating dog food for protein. This is a
wet or dry?
Yeah, the answer is yes, apparently. There's a video where people are eating dog food, and this is getting likes like you wouldn't believe. The dog food, according to one of these gym bros, tasted extremely dry. needed so much water after eating it.
Well, then maybe you might want to try Gravy Train.
Tasted like little pieces of dirt, and I definitely don't think it was worth it. Even though it's a lot of protein, I'd take steak or protein powder. Yeah, this guy is eating the dog food. He says it's, quote, for the gains. Now, he doesn't mean Gains burgers.
No.
He means the gains in the gym, I imagine. Eating dog food because the protein.
Look at me, I'm huge.
What are you doing? What are you doing? They say if you were to eat dog food, the actual amount of protein per serving is something to be aware of. But also, there is a possibility of foodborne illnesses. On Kibbles and Bits, it says that it's... Does it say on the dog food that it's human grade?
Some things say human grade, but typically you see treats that say human grade.
So that means you could eat it if you wanted to.
I guess.
The FDA says all pet food must be safe for animals to eat, produced under sanitary conditions and contain no harmful substances. But dog food does not fall under the same rules and regulations that human food does. And as a result, dog food products typically have a label for the intended use. What the term human grade is sometimes used on dog food, it really doesn't mean much, they say. There's a misrepresentation of what human grade means. Human edible foods are way different and regulated by the Food and Drug Administration. Human grade really, according to these experts, doesn't really mean anything.
Okay.
Pet food that is labeled human grade is not considered edible by humans. In most cases, it means it has certain ingredients and is produced in a facility licensed to handle human food, but is still not meant for human consumption.
Gotcha.
So the nutritional risks probably outweigh any benefits you have eating dog food for the protein while you're working out.
Look at me, I'm ripped.
200 grams of a Pedigree dog food product, or about one cup, has 666 grams of protein. Yeah, but that's not meant for you. That's meant for your dog. Conversely, another hot trend that's taking over the world, something the kids are doing there and they call an everything shower. An everything shower is a self-care routine that people are enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially staying in the shower for like an hour and just getting everything done in there.
What do you mean everything?
Everything, brah. Everything. Everything shower routine. Big with Gen Z and millennials. Adding it to
look at this water bill.
To what they call their self-care Saturdays and self-care Sundays. The TikTok hashtag everything shower has 123.7 million views.
Is this like the everything bagel?
An everything shower is an extensive bathing process that consists of taking care of everything. The first step of the everything shower is carving out an hour or more of your day to just pamper yourself.
Because God knows you need it.
During this time, people partake in a lengthy, multi-step pre-shower, and post-shower routine using a whole cabinet of soaps, cleaners, exfoliants, serums, oils, and more. Some routines begin with a dry brushing, hair brushing, scalp treatment, deep conditioning mask, makeup remover, and face mask. Once you start the water and the shower is nice and steamy, let the shampooing, conditioning, exfoliating, shaving, and washing commence.
See, that's what Big Shower wants you to do.
Moving up to the face, do something called double cleansing. First with an oil-based face cleanser, and then with a water-based one. It's often the last step in the shower cleansing process, ending with a splash of cold water to keep hair shiny and silky. You know, I'm also eating dog food to keep my coat shiny and silky. And for the games, brah. Stepping out of the shower, experts suggest you pat down with a towel to keep skin damp as you moisturize your skin and proceed with your skincare routine. Some people...
Only idiots dry themselves off with a towel.
Some people enjoy adding to their glow with fake tanners, hydrating their hair, or donning skin masks. These wellness trends and routines have catapulted the hair and scalp and skincare industries, both of which have expanded and are expected to continue to grow by the billions due to the escalating demand for niche products. While most people take an everything shower to pamper themselves, others also partake in the detailed routine to get ready for a possible sexual encounter.
With themselves?
You need an hour in there.
Tell you what, this is looking more than looking better than possible. I'm gonna move this one to probable. I don't want to get cocky, but I'm gonna get cocky.
You'll be a wonderful lover, Brian.
I'm gonna point the arrow to probable.
I feel pretty good about this.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Exactly.
Well, the system is specific to each washer and can change every time. The point of an everything shower,
yes,
is to indulge in taking the time to clean and care for every blessed inch of your body. For many, the pampering experience is a meditative process. But others joke that the routine is spiraled into an exhausting and obsessive procedure.
Yeah, where you end up passed out with a concussion in the shower. What went wrong? What happened?
I took an hour-long shower, and I'll be honest, it took so much out of me. I just passed out. Just went back to bed. What am I supposed to do after this?
Ended up fainting.
I had spent so much time in there rubbing and scrubbing that...
And a rub-a-dubbing.
Yeah. I just didn't have anything left in the tank.
There's nothing left. And the heat, my God, the heat.
One everything shower proponent posting here on TikTok, quote, "My everything shower is getting out of hand."
Yeah, you know what? It's okay to keep that to yourself.
Yeah.
Hello, complete strangers.
I mean,
I want you to know something.
As long as you recognize it.
I'd like to go on the internet and tell the entire world something, and it's this. Mm-hmm. I've been taking hour-long showers, and so help me, it's training my life force. It's
too much.
What are you doing? Raya Carmona says the everything shower is getting out of hand. She says her shower is filtered and pH balanced. She's also added a lymphatic drainage routine.
Okay.
While conditioning.
I don't. You shouldn't be doing that.
A lymphatic drainage routine. What is that? What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Draining her lymph nodes? Something that she does. These are exercises you can do, I guess. How often should you do a lymphatic drainage?
Well, that's what she thinks she's doing. Actually, she's just blowing her nose.
It says here, for best effects, a professional may recommend lymphatic drainage once per month to once per week. So I've never heard of this. That seems like she's added this lymphatic drainage routine.
You're going to need a professional.
If you have lymph nodes, I have a straw, and there it is. I drink your lymph nodes. Drainage!
Drainage routine, conditioning her hair, which she now dry brushes pre-shower before giving herself a full scalp massage. She uses Olaplex number 3 treatment before she shampoos, and after shaving, she claims to apply fur oil.
fur oil?
Yes. I'm going to put some fur oil on myself.
Looks like Chuck's taking the old log to the beaver.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, back in my day, we called it duck butter.
After the shower, Carmona picks up a gua sha, a kind of jade roller that's flat. She says here, quote, "My water bill is exorbitant."
I bet.
"My skin is glowing. My mental health is waning."
Well, then maybe this isn't the best. Maybe this...
Bananas.
Yeah. Maybe it's time to back it off. Let's bring this back to earth and introduce the old 9-minute shower.
This is the quote of the show this morning. Quote, "My water bill is exorbitant. My skin is glowing. My mental health is waning." That's the greatest. Someone says here, "You finished your 2+ hour everything shower and have lost all sense in your limbs, turned into a human prune, and are grossly dehydrated. But it's worth it because you're smoother than a glazed donut."
All right, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Say someone is showering.
Yeah.
I don't know. And you're waiting. At what point, as far as time elapsing, are you like, okay, now that's getting to be a long shower? Anything over what?
I'm going to say...
15 minutes?
I'm going to say 15 minutes.
Exactly.
And 15 minutes is entirely too long.
Yes, it is.
But 15 minutes is the point where I would feel comfortable saying...
Okay, what the hell's going on?
Knock it off in there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, right.
It's like, say you're... who knows? Maybe you're on vacation and it's your turn. It's like, what?
Right.
What is happening?
Yeah. Yeah. 15 minutes would be the point where I would feel comfortable saying.
All of a sudden start knocking.
Yeah. Hey! I would go down to the basement and I would turn the water off in the house. That's what I would do. I wouldn't knock on the door.
Yeah.
I would just shut the water off.
You've had enough.
An executive decision has been made here. That's enough with the shower. Really, I mean, you shouldn't be in the shower more than a really super long, extra long pampering shower where you're taking care of every nook and or cranny. I'm going to say 8 minutes.
I don't know. I think that's about a normal shower for me. About 8 minutes or so.
8 minutes is you've gotten everything done that you've needed to get done. See, I like to have I turn on the station app, and I like to stay in for 2 songs. That's my rule of thumb. When a third song starts,
yeah,
I know I've been in there way too long. And anything that I haven't gotten to isn't going anywhere, I hope. I hope I'm not losing any of the parts that I haven't gotten to in 8 minutes. But 15 minutes is ridiculous.
That's a lot.
Right? The Dave and Darren text line here at 563-223-8355. Josh pointing out, this sounds an awful lot like the episode where Kramer was just in the shower all the time. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Where he was like making salads or whatever? What was the gimmick?
He had like a garbage disposal.
Well, that's what it was. That's what it was.
You're asking for it.
Right. I guess you can get away with this too if you are... a younger person and you're renting and you're not paying a water bill.
Well, yeah, there's that.
Right? So if these are all people that are living in apartments and they don't pay a water bill, then I guess you can go ahead and take a 2-hour shower.
Stick it to them.
Mm-hmm. But as, again, my favorite quote, "My water bill is exorbitant. My mental health is waning."
No, no, no.
"And my skin is glowing." No, my skin is glowing and my mental health is waning. That's what it was. Right. In that order.
Number four.
My wife was telling me about this festival, I guess it's in Maryland, that she wants to go to. It's called Ocean's Calling. Here's the lineup for Friday. It's September 29th to October 1st. Friday night, Jack Johnson, Alanis Morissette, Slightly Stupid, Third Eye Blind, Michael Fronte and Spearhead, OAR, Declan McKenna, Peach Pit, Michigander, Toad the Wet Sprocket. Saturday night, John Mayer, Incubus, Noah Kahan, Sheryl Crow, Jimmy Eat World, Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals, Matt and Kim, Gin Blossoms, White Reaper, and Mike Campbell and the Dirty Knobs.
Huh.
And then Sunday, it's Lumineers, Weezer, Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, Dirty Heads, Fits in the Tantrums, Grace Potter, The Wallflowers, G Love and Special Sauce, and a special set by OAR and Friends. There's more bands on this lineup, but I thought it was interesting when she said, the whole thing is hosted by Jason Biggs. What? The kid from American Pie? Apparently he puts on a cooking demonstration.
Is he paying for it?
I don't understand how any of this works.
Will there be pie?
Now that would be something else. If
you know he's going to walk out there with one.
Yeah, that's kind of his gimmick, isn't it?
It's quite a gimmick to have.
You guys want to see me bake a pie? Do you want to see me do anything else to this pie? Huh?
No!
For the love of
God, not again!
We can't.
Collectively, no!
We all said no to this! What are you doing? Put that pie down! You're going to be 50 years old!
It's not a good gimmick!
Stop it! It's a terrible thing to be known
for. It was
a
bad idea 20 years ago.
I would be...
I mean, even Eugene Levy is like, oh, we shouldn't have done that. We shouldn't have done that, but at least I don't have any fingerprints on that pie.
Well, he showed up in every one of the movies. Eugene Levy would take a check to be in any one of those American Pie movies. Yeah. They made like seven of them, you know.
Yeah.
There were the two that had nothing to do with anything. No.
I'll show up.
It just became like how they would just slap National Lampoons on the front of movies. Yeah. It's like, what does this have to do with anything?
It doesn't.
Yeah. Quick Florida story for you.
Florida.
This is from Pinellas County. That would be your St. Petersburg. This is outside a place called the Toasted Monkey in St. Pete Beach. Mm-hmm. Now, I have been to the Toasted Monkey a handful of times.
Yes.
The last time I was at the Toasted Monkey, this would have been 4 or 5 years ago.
Is this the one where the woman poured the drink all over just...
Yes. Yes.
Down the front of her shirt.
Yes.
Missed her mouth by like a foot.
She was passed out, but on a bar stool, and she had a beer in her hand.
Yeah.
And we were watching to see, well, she's going to drop that beer.
She still has a full beer. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen here?
And then someone nudged her, and she took the beer to go take a drink and just poured it right down the front of her shirt. And then had no clue that she had done it. We then watched her fall off the bar stool.
Now that is one toasted monkey.
It was the most entertaining thing the whole trip, was just going to the Toasted Monkey and watching this.
I wish you had that and you could show me that on this monitor.
Yeah, boy. I didn't think to grab my camera. I wish I would have, because it would have been an all-time viral sensation. So, yeah, the Toasted Monkey is a place, especially on spring break, where people can go after it.
Sure. It's in the name.
Mm-hmm. This guy was down there for spring break and arrested on Thursday, accused of using a butter knife to cause extensive damage to a brand new Nissan SUV that was parked outside of the Toasted Monkey. Clifford Edwards is a guy from Springfield, Missouri.
He took umbrage with this car for some reason.
I guess. He was spotted making motions next to this couple's 2023 Nissan Rogue parked just outside of the Toasted Monkey down there. When confronted, he laughed and ran down off the street. That's when the couple noticed that the entire side of their SUV had been scratched up with this butter knife that was laying next to the vehicle.
Oh, you don't do that.
In all, authorities say the damage is estimated in excess of $1,000. They took a look at some nearby camera footage, because the Toasted Monkey is next to a hotel, and there's cameras all up and down the strip there.
Plenty of cameras.
Mm-hmm. Nearby security camera footage got a clear shot of him. Authorities say he had also entered his phone number on the restaurant's wait list. After calling the number, deputies met up with him at a separate location where he admitted that he had scratched up the vehicle.
Your table's
after,
ready.
After he was read his Miranda rights, he admitted that he did, in fact, scratch up the Rogue, calling it, his words now, a spring break mistake. It's worth pointing out to you.
That doesn't. That's not a get-out-of-jail-free card.
No. What we have here is a spring break mistake, you see.
It even rhymes.
It is worth pointing out, however, that the gentleman in question here is 52 years old.
Okay. Champ plus two.
A 52-year-old man vacationing, arrested, accused of using this butter knife. Yeah, he's, I guess.
Your spring break was 1990.
Right. The time for this sort of mischief at the Toasted Monkey, Clifford, I think you'll find was quite some time ago. If this was a 19-year-old kid, it's still a jerk move.
You're still in trouble.
Right. Look, what we have here is just some youthful springtime indiscretions. I'm 52 years old.
Five.
I got another one of these hold on to your cat stories where, this one. This one involves a cougar.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Or a mountain lion, I guess. This guy is renting a house out in Colorado. This happened on Monday. They're just chilling in the hot tub there at their rental property in Nathrop, Colorado, when a mountain lion shows up and claws a guy's head while he's just trying to get his soak on.
What are you doing?
Wildlife officials say they're searching for a mountain lion that clawed this guy's head while he was sitting in a hot tub with his wife at their rental home in central Colorado.
Why are they looking for the mountain lion?
Well,
what are you going to do?
Give it a good talking to?
I mean,
did you do this?
What's the point in that?
The guy was soaking in an in-ground hot tub in a wooden subdivision west of Nathrop, Colorado, when he felt something grab his head. That's according to the Colorado Parks and Wildlife. He screamed at the mountain lion and started splashing water while his wife shined a flashlight at the animal. That's not helping, Margaret. I got a flashlight. Maybe this will scare it away. Your flashlight's doing nothing, Margaret, and I'm bleeding to death.
It's attracting more bobcats.
You're just letting them know where we are. I told you this was a mistake. Authorities say the mountain lion retreated to the top of the hill and continued to watch the couple. The man and his wife were able to get back into the home, where they cleaned his wounds and then called the property owner, who just so happens to work for Colorado Parks and Wildlife. This man had four superficial scratches on the top of his head near his right ear. He declined medical treatment.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to charge the mountain lion.
That's true. If you're hanging out in the mountains,
yeah,
and a mountain lion shows up, you're the one that needs to leave. That's the mountain lion's, I mean, it's right there in the name.
I mean, at that point, it's really just a lion.
Right. Now, if they were called hot tub lions, maybe we'd all be more aware of the dangers. Mountain and hot tub lion is probably what we should start calling them from now on, just so everyone is aware of what can happen.
Well, even just because you're in a hot tub doesn't mean you shouldn't keep your head on a swivel.
That's a great point.
Oh, you're getting a little too relaxed.
Because the next thing you know, out of nowhere, right, Sean Shepard is the area wildlife manager who says, quote, "We think it's likely the mountain lion saw the man's head move in the darkness at ground level, but didn't recognize the people in the hot tub."
Yes.
Didn't recognize the people in the hot tub.
How is the people?
Oh, Frank, Margaret, I didn't know it was you. Sorry, I thought you were another couple. It says, we think it's likely the mountain lion saw the man's head move in the darkness at ground level, but didn't recognize the people in the hot tub. Meaning that didn't recognize that they were people, right?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
I didn't know that was you, Gladys.
I didn't realize the Hutchinsons were running this home this week. Sorry, gang. They say here, the couple did the right thing by making noise and shining a light on the lion. Oh, I don't know. I don't know that you should be shining lights on it. What, do you think it's going to chase it like it's a cat with a laser pointer?
You know, it's not impossible.
Mm. State wildlife officers immediately began searching for the big cat along a steep ridge near a creek, but couldn't find any tracks in the frozen snow.
I bet they didn't try too hard.
They set up a trap nearby. I don't like hearing that. What are they setting up a trap for? I don't care for this.
It's a trap.
They set up a trap nearby and will continue to monitor mountain lion activity near this Nathrop, Colorado, a mountainous area known for its outdoor activities.
Let me guess. The guy who ended up getting scratched ended up in the trap.
This vacation sucks!
And now we're done.
Get me out of here!
You go back home. The search is over. Don't come back.
I wanted to go to the beach, but you said no. This is the first reported mountain lion attack on a person in Colorado since February of 2022. Well, okay,
that doesn't seem that long.
No, that's 13 months. Wildlife officials say at least 27 people have been injured in mountain lion attacks in Colorado since 1990. Three of those injuries have resulted in a fatality. Ooh. So, yeah, this mountain lion needs to either, you know, move to a different area, or how about we stop with the hot tubs in the mountains? Either way. And now I'm in the trap?
I'm in the trap!
This vacation sucks so hard! I want my deposit back.
I'm in the trap and I don't know which side is up.
I'm losing feeling in my legs.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's top five things. Again, our morning show is heard on locally owned, fiercely independent Planet 93.9. In fact, if you ever wanted to listen to an entire show,
yes,
with all the commercials and music, you can do that on demand at planet939.com. This is not that, though. This is the top five things.
Yeah,
this was a reader's digest of what we got done.
It's like riding a bike is what this was.
Yeah, a listener's digest. Hey, that's not bad. That's it for this show, though. Until we get a chance to do it for you again, and I get a chance to pat myself on the back for every stupid idea I utter out loud.
No, I like the idea. I like the idea. We should start a new podcast called The Listener's Digest.
The Listener's Digest. It's not bad, right? Until next time.
We'll have like recipes.
Yes.
Homespun stories.
Humor in uniform. Until we get a chance to do this for you again. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, representing. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock on, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Well, it was fun. I'm going to go take a nap now, and then I think I'm going to call some hospitals.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.